This podcast is offered by Jikoji Zen Center on the web at jikoji.org. Our programs are made possible by donations from people like you.
Well, I was going to read you the poems that were on the most recently on the website that Nico put up. They were the same poems, but the one, and they were perfect. And so I had to write her three different times and thank her, but it's the same poems, but I guess I shouldn't make you wait and go look for them. Maybe Balin will find them, I don't know. Anyway, it's about gathering and the days are getting shorter soon. And I hope you had a wonderful Thanksgiving, all of you. Can you find my poem? Those poems. He can't find them. I don't blame him. Okay. Anyway, so that's what it is. So it's a time when we all come together and give thanks. A few days ago, but let's just keep giving thanks to each other and to everybody in the whole world. I went on a slight rant when I talked at Tuesday night at Floating Zendo, saying, well, what about the Indians, you know, or Native Americans, or whichever word they prefer. I don't know all the tribes or names or who is part of which tribe. And yeah, I was saying, so what about the Indians? What happened? The Indians got ripped off and the pilgrims. Yeah, so, I mean, I never thought that when I was young. I never even thought of that. But now, I want to acknowledge that gift that they gave us. And then I could start in about the forced marches and everything. So that was my rant. So I'm finished with that. I'd love to hear what you have brought in.
Okay, people in the Zendo, if you have a poem, could you come up close? Ben, could you reach this pad and we'll just put it up. So state your name and read your poem. Or online. Yes, Jackie.
I'll kick it off.
Thank you. Hey. Can you hear us okay, Paula?
Hi.
Hi, Paula. So I'm going to read some of To a Mouse by Robert Burns. And you won't understand a lot of it, but it's really fun anyway. And it's a nice poem. It's about a plowman turning up. Well, it says, Robert Burns is Scotland's national poet. He wrote in the late 18th century, and he wrote in Scottish dialect. So To a Mouse, on turning her up in her nest with the plow. He was a farmer before he was a poet. November 1785. Wee sleekit, coor and timorous beastie. Oh, what a panic's in thy breastie. I needna start a wa, say hasty, wi bicker and brattle. I would be laith to rin and chase thee wi murder and pattle. I'm truly sorry man's dominion has broken nature's social union and justifies that ill opinion which makes thee startle at me, thy poor earth-born companion and fellow mortal. I doubt na whiles but thou may thieve. What then, poor beastie, thou maun live? A daemon occur in a thraves a sma' request. Get a blessing with a lave and never missed. I'm going to skip a couple of things. That wee bit heap o' leaves and stubble has cost thee mony a weary nibble. Now thou's turned oot for a' thy trouble. But house or hall to thole the winter sleety dribble and cranruch cauld. But Mussy, thou art no thy lane, and proven foresight may be vain. The best laid schemes o' mice and men gang after glay, and Leah's not but grief and pain for promised joy. Still, thou art blessed compared with me. The present only toucheth thee. But och, I backward cast my ee on prospects drear, and forward, though I canna see, I guess, but fear.
So do you want to translate some of that?
Well, I could do if you like. Which bits? I thought it was all perfectly clear myself. So a little cowering, timorous creature, what a panic's in thy breast. You don't have to start away from me. I would be loath to chase thee with my murdering plowman thingy, whatever it is. And then there's a verse in English. I'm truly sorry man's dominion has broken nature's social union. It justifies thy ill opinion of me, thy poor earthborn companion and fellow mortal. I doubt, I know that you thieve. So what? It's just a tiny little bit. I will never miss it. And your wee bit hoosie is in ruin. His plough has broken this little field mouse's nest. And now it's left out in the cold, with nothing left to build a new one. And that's it. And then it's, but mouse, you're not alone, and proving foresight may be vain. The best laid schemes of mice and men often go astray and leave us nothing but grief and pain for promised joy. But you're blessed compared with me. You're only aware of the present moment. All right, Buddhists, present moment. Well, this is what we want, but if you're not like the mouse, then. But I cast my eye backward in time on things that are not pleasant. And forward, though I can't see, I guess. And I fear. So to me, this is a very Buddhist infused poem because it talks about being in the present and not in the past or in the future, not like the mouse. And it's also a very heartfelt poem. I like it because it's tender. And that Robert Burns could be a very tender poet. I like that. Thanks.
Thank you for reading that. I read that this morning, and I'm so glad to hear it with the whole thing, the whole sound of it. I thought exactly the present moment and the whole thing. One more thing. Did you know that Bob Dylan's song, My Heart's in the Highlands?
Oh, yeah.
It was from Robert Burns.
Yeah. Okay, good.
Robert Burns, then the source of the best laid plans of
this is it. This poem,
that's it.
That's where it comes from. So, the Steinbeck, and any other. Yeah, that's the source. And
Thank you. I'm having fun. Who's going to read next?
We got another contender here in the Zendo.
Who's that guy?
This poem is as completely opposite as could possibly be. this is by Wang Wei, who was Tang Dynasty painter and poet. They say that his paintings were like poems, and his poems were like paintings. Can you hand me my glasses? And he was well known as a Buddhist practitioner and was also very active in the government. But then he retired and was became famous as a kind of recluse as well. The title is In the Mountains, Sent to Chan Brothers and Sisters. So Zen brothers and sisters. Dharma companions filling mountains. A sangha forms of itself, chanting, sitting Chan stillness. Looking out from distant city walls, people see only white clouds. That's it.
So I'm going to read one from the Parid Attar, the Conference of the Birds. It talks about complaining. And I just remember well, Katagiri Roshi telling our Sangha, stop complaining. We try to do that to our kids, grandkids, but sometimes to no avail. But here's this about the Hupoi. The Hupoi said, how feebly you complain. How long will this worn bag of bones remain? What are you but a few bones? And at heart, each bone is soft and hastens to depart. Aren't you aware that life from birth to death is little more than one precarious breath? That all who suffer birth must also die, their being scattered to the windy sky. As you are reared to live, so from your birth, you are also reared to one day leave this earth. The sky is like some huge inverted bowl, which sunset fills with blood from pole to pole. The sun seems then an executioner, beheading thousands with his scimitar. If you are profligate, if you are pure, you are but water mixed with dust. No more. A drop of trembling instability, and can a drop resist the surging sea? Though in the world you are a king, you must in sorrow and depart, return to dust.
Hi, Peter.
Hello, Paula and friends. I'm going to go now because I have a neighbor who has some kind of a project going on and is making noise, but right now it's quiet. So I'm going to slip in here with a poem by Charles Atkinson, a student of Cobin's, with whom Paula and I sat at the Santa Cruz Zen Center 45 years ago. And he recently had a new publication of it's titled Poems New and Selected. And this is one of his new ones. And I thought it fits in with Paula's theme, at least by title. It's called Calling Kin, which we do a lot of around Thanksgiving. But as you'll see here, he's referring to to kin in the natural world more than our Skypes and Zooms and phone calls to family. Calling Kin by Charles Atkinson. Coyote's cry is ragged, anguished. Only a creature calling kin. To coax the moment out of hiding. I cross the deck, a bowl of cream, nothing moves. Then it does, smudge at the field's near edge. Moons clambered clear of the pines, musk on the air. A silhouette slips, shadow to shadow, along the fence. Mindfulness is skittish. It thrives on patience. All I can muster, then more I know my part. Welcome the moon, the cream, a bark that shreds the quiet. Welcome sons who don't need me and think they do. Grandkids who need me and think they don't. Breath brushes past the eat. It passed past the ear, a shade wafts by like heat. Charles and his wife, Sarah, live next to a green belt with beautifully tall stands of redwoods and occasionally coyote. Thank you, Chuck.
Thank you, Chuck, and thank you, Peter. And I feel like it is very a connection. When I say all of us, you know, I mean the trees and everything. So I think that's what he means too, right? That's the way I take it. Karen. Okay, F, you're next, Karen.
Sorry.
Just wait. Okay.
Please let this fellow go. I don't know your name.
Okay, I'm Alan. Nice to meet you, Karen. This is a poem that I wrote last month. I chose this one because it reminds me of the infinite grace in even the most ordinary moments. It was a most ordinary day, walking the dogs, making coffee, playing the piano, nibbling on chocolate. It was also a most extraordinary day, being welcomed into your home, your sanctuary, sharing the same space where you have laughed and cried with your dearest, bonding with your babies, capturing their beauty and your radiance, basking in the simple joys of being with you, with sky and blue. Playing on your piano, felt as if I was connected to all the notes that had ever danced off your fingers there, tapping into your ever-flowing love, and as the universe cracked open, a new dimension to let me in, I lost myself in the cosmic multicolored symphony, surrounded by your energy and surrendered. Thank you, my dearest. The superpower is you yourself, turning every ordinary moment into an extraordinary slice of preciousness that radiates joy in eternum.
Car.
I can't go off after that. That was fantastic.
Yes, you can.
Was that his own poem?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah. He wrote that.
I could listen to that again, actually.
If we have time, maybe we'll make him do it at the end.
Anyway, I'm going to wait until my house calms down a little bit. So someone else, please go.
I feel so nervous coming up here. My heart is like pounding, you know. It's a real rush. I don't know if it's really a poem, but a friend of mine wrote this in Oregon in 1979, and I remembered it. And it's the four elements. So I'm not going to sing it, though she sang it. And it's, so when the snow begins to fall. Okay, see, I totally lost it. It flutters down and washes all. So when the snow begins to fall, softens the earth. Okay, I totally forgot the snow. So let's just go into the rain. So when the rain begins to fall, washes the earth and softens all. It trickles down to feed the streams and its merry music fills our dreams. Now we're gonna go to the wind. So when the wind begins to blow, chases the clouds when they move too slow, sways and flows and sings its song, and the trees and flowers dance along. Now we're gonna do the sun. So when the sun begins to shine, it warms the good earth, and with its loving light, ripens the fruit and helps plants grow with its warm and ever-present glow. Sorry, I forgot the snow.
Randy, are you ready to read a poem? So you can unmute. I have speakers this time.
Got it. Can you, is it, am I audible?
You're on.
Can you hear me? Hear me okay? This is a poem. My wife shoved the copy of this one into when I was eating breakfast the other day, and she told me to read it. And I thought it was quite good about that sense of intimacy that awareness brings. I think that's kind of what our practice is about in some degree, and this is obviously about a poet, Merwin. And I'm not sure of his first name, but my wife said he's of her mother's generation. So he's an older poet.
Yeah.
He's probably not alive. And the title of this is Before a Departure in Spring. Once more, it is April, with the first light sifting through the young leaves, heavy with dew, making the colors. Remember who they are, the new pink of the cinnamon tree, the gilded lichen of the bamboo, the shadowed bronze of the kamani, and the blue day opening. As the sunlight descends through it all, like the return of a spirit, touching without touch, and unable to believe it is here and here again and awake, reaching out in silence into the cool breath of the garden, just risen from darkness and days of rain. It is only a moment. The birds fly through it, calling to each other, and are gone with their few notes and the flash of their flight that had vanished before we ever knew it. We watch without touching any of it, and we can tell ourselves only that this is April. This is the morning that never happened before, and we both remember it.
Oh, that's so dear. It's so sweet. And your wife is there and heard you read it.
Well, she's into this poetry thing, so she.
Oh, well, some of us are.
I like reading books. I like reading it. It's
yeah, it's you read poetry. Really well.
They are, yeah. So, yeah, that's it.
Thank you.
But let me see. It's something, it reminds me of something, I don't know, it stayed with me. I guess someone said the other day, I think who was talking was, oh God, I can't remember his name right. The fellow that does the tea ceremony. God, I can't.
Jerome.
Yeah, Jero.
Jero's here right now. Yeah. Say hi to Jero.
Yeah, and he was talking about a woman, this Buddhist scholar, teacher, whatever, and she was on her deathbed, and what she said at the very end was, every breath is a gift. And that has really stayed with me since he said that, as going back to that, going, you know. And when I'm off and real confused, and that poem reminds me of that very thing, that awareness that was brought to this poem. It was like a gift, a breath gift. So that's it. Okay. See ya.
Oh, good. It's so good to see you, Paula.
You too.
I would have loved to read something from Rumi, but I didn't come prepared. So I'm gonna read I don't know if it's a poem, but something that I wrote on my way from Kyoto to Tokyo on the train. And it's sentiment of this.
Take your mask off if you want. Thank you.
Sentiment of the human journey and how we just dance in between the yin and the yangs and these opposite forces that kind of come together to define us. And the nature of unconditional love. It was my way of expressing it. And it's called I Have Kissed the Moon With You. I have been in the depth of the oceans with you, have traveled high above the clouds with you, have taken the train through the tunnel of time with you, have walked and kissed the earth with you, have watched the sunrise, the moon set, the shooting stars fly, have seen rainbows and butterflies with you. Have been to the church, to the temple, and in the forest with you, have stumbled
and danced with you. I have played and sang with you, have been bitter and sweet with you, have been high and low with you. I have been Asian and Aryan with you, have been an earthling and a Martian with you, have been human and Buddha with you. I have seen hate and kindness with you, have been in pain with you, have laughed and cried, struggled and grown with you. I have tried and I have floated, have been broken and whole with you. I have held and let go with you, have been captured and freed with you, have opened up to you, I have evolved with you. I have been Buddha and have been human with you. I have kissed the moon with you.
I don't know that everyone knows your name. Could you say your name again?
I am Violet.
Okay, Violet. I didn't recognize you. I thought maybe it's Violet, but you're so glad to see you.
I'm in 2012, that's why. So good to see you. I miss our long sessions here together, but it's always good.
I do too. Even though we wore you out last time when there were two, John and I were giving the pictures and you had to go back and forth between us. And then you put a tray between us, so that was smart.
I cannot wait to be a service again. Good to see you, Paula. Thank you.
Yeah, you too. Okay, while I'm waiting, Violet, please say hello to your mother for me. Really, she's wonderful. I can't see everybody in the back. I see we have some listeners. I see someone right there with a blue mask on. Did you already come up? Hi. People are waving, they're just not coming up. I might be forced to read one of my old poems.
Would you read some of your poetry?
Okay. All right. I can find it. Yeah, I was looking for my chapbooks and then I realized I stashed them somewhere to leave to my daughter. And they're somewhere in the house, but I have this one that I wrote when I was in a class with Joe Stroud. We both were teachers at Cabrillo and he always gave me good, he always said nice things. It's called Bird Song in Late Winter. The sun's coming out and birds sing from that other, larger, I want to remember this world, where there is no word for peace. The beginning was one word and everything came from it. Hence loaves and fishes, no more magic than faith, no more faith than memory. I imagine these birds spilling out with their songs, the slower birds, one by one, joining them. I edited it as I read. Okay. How many times do I have to sing before the rest of you sing?
Three more times.
One more time. I wish. I don't know where they are. I swear I don't know where they are. And I don't, if someone wants to sing a song while I'm looking again, do you know where my poems are?
Yeah. I probably know the song as opposed to the poem. How had I just sang it?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
No, the poem's on.
Okay.
Put him in a good shape.
No,
no,
not, okay. I know. It made me totally nervous being up. So the four others. Stars of snow upon my sleeve, they're quick to come and they're quick to leave. They flutter down to look about, and they close their eyes and flutter out. Oh, the rain begins to fall, softens the earth and it washes all. It trickles down to feed the stream, and its merry music fills our dreams. When the wind begins to blow, chases the clouds when they move too slow. It sways and flows and sings its song, and the trees and flowers dance along. Oh, the sun is golden bright, warms the good earth with its loving light, ripens the fruit and helps plants grow with its warm and ever-present glow. Sorry about that, you guys. I just got so nervous.
That's great.
Do you have two more songs?
To read something by
friend
of mine.
Would you?
Yeah. So this is a poem by a friend of mine. His name is Payman. It's called When a Leaf Dies. When this is all over, like a leaf touching the ground after months of stretching toward the light, after months of holding up to the winds, I want to be held firmly in your arms on a warm autumnal afternoon. Hold me like a dead leaf on a tree in November. I, too, am tired of fighting the gravity. When this is all over, I want to rest by a small blue fountain next to a lover's hands, smelling of fresh herbs. I want to draw slow kisses from her pomegranate-stained lips. When this is all over, soft air will brush our skins. But if die too soon or too far, hold out your hand. I carry light of a new tomorrow on my chest where the bullets lay. Dry your tears for every fallen leaf. Earth grew 1,000 more trees.
Thank you.
I think I have to follow that one.
Okay, good.
Because, let me find it. Oh, shoot. I lost it. Damn it. I'm sorry. I lost it.
Bring it on Christmas. Oh, yeah. I wanted, did I already remind you about Christmas?
Not yet.
Not yet. Yes, I haven't reminded you about Christmas. We're going to have Christmas. And I don't know how many people will be there. I know you all have, a lot of you have families, and a lot of you, Jikoji is your family. And I hope you can be there in the Zendo. I would love to be in the Zendo with you. My family is in Santa Cruz, my daughter. But I'd like to say that if you have visitors or kids with you, anything that like that, if anyone does, I was thinking of sending out some sort of examples of kids' poems that if you know any kids that are there with you, they could read. They could write a poem of their own or something like that. So. Sarah? Kara?
So, sorry about
that.
I found this poem, and actually this was sort of like, it's more like, it's not a poem. It's from Thich Nhat Hanh, and it's called Be One with the Leaf. I mean, it's poem-like. But I looked this up because I had one of those dreams that you're just a magical dream about a nun who was super fashionable and and she was shaved head and she had a crown of leaves, and she just possessed the mystery as she walked by us. And and in my dream, I named her Estee Lauder. That's the only fashionable name I could come up with. I'm not a fashion person, but anyway, so Estee Lauder walked by, and leaves fell out of the crown of her crown. They fell out, and some of us could smell the leaves and smell the essence, which was, you know, the message or the essence. And some of us could not smell it, you know, in a kind of a frustration. Anyway, but I just was like doing, I'm like, I need to write a poem about this at some point. So I did some, but I wanted to do some research, and I found this from Thich Nhat Hanh, and it's just a little thing he wrote. I asked the leaf whether it was frightened because it was autumn and the other leaves were falling. The leaf told me no. During the whole spring and summer, I was completely alive and I worked hard to nourish the tree. And now much of me is in the tree. I'm not limited by this form. I'm also the whole tree. And when I go back to the soil, I will also continue to nourish the tree. That day, there was a wind blowing, and after a while, I saw the leaf leave the branch and float down to the soil, dancing joyfully, because as it floated, it saw itself already there in the tree. It was so happy. I bowed my head, knowing that I have a lot to learn from the leaf. So please continue to look back and you will see that you have always been here. Let us look together and penetrate into the life of a leaf so that we may be one with the leaf. Let us penetrate and be one with the cloud or with the wave to realize our own nature as water and be free from our fear. If we look very deeply, we will transcend birth and death. Tomorrow, I will continue to be with you. but you will have to be very attentive to see me. I will be there. I will be a flower or a leaf. I will be in these forms and I will say hello to you. If you are attentive enough, you will recognize me and you may greet me and I will be very happy. Thank you, Thich Nhat Hanh.
Yeah.
Thank you for listening to this podcast offered by Jokoji Zen Center. Our Dharma talks are offered free of charge, and this is made possible by the donations we receive. Your support helps us to continue to offer the Dharma. For more information about Jokoji, please visit us on the web at jokoji.org.